بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن عباس بن ربيعة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: رأيت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه يقبل الحجر يعني الأسود ويقول: إني أعلم أنك حجر لا ما تنفع ولا تضر، ولولا إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. متفق عليه. There is still in this chapter that the importance of following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how much stress and how much it is emphasized. There is the last hadith in this chapter. Abbas ibn Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that I saw Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu kissing the Hajar al-Aswad. And when he kissed it, he told it, Inni a'lamu annaka hajar. I know that you are just a stone. Ma tanfa'u wa la tadurru. You cannot benefit and you cannot harm. In other words, I'm not kissing you like in how you kiss an idol and you expect goodness from the idol. You are no idol, you cannot harm or benefit. And had I not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing you, I should not have kissed you. There are two major points that we learn here. One is that the abstinence of idolatry, idol worship was so strong in the Sahaba that any little indication or what could be understood like idol worship, that also they refrained from it completely. Also, this was just new since the Arabs have come out of idol worship. So people who were still used to idol worship could perhaps take an indication from this that idol worship is all right. Therefore, the extra stress by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So on the one side, it is abstinence from any wrong practice in Islam, especially the worst of worshipping idols, associating partners with Allah ta'ala. And on the other hand, the importance of following sunnah. That Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing the Hajar al-Aswad. So because that is a sunnah now, and he did it though it did not like appeal to him, because it could have been taken something like idol worship. But because he saw Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it, whether he understood or not, he also complied and did it. And that is how we should follow sunnah. Whether it makes any sense to us or it does not make sense, it is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we do it for that reason. Not for that it makes sense for us, there is this benefit or that benefit. Those are the extra things. But the main thing is that it was the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when it is established, it is true, correct, and a correct hadith, then we should also practice it. Further, the core message of this hadith, which is absolute obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is pivotal teaching of Islam. This is very important that we submit solely and fully to the teachings of Islam. To submit to the lawgiver Allah in matters of religion, and to gracefully accept matters whose meanings may be concealed, is a fundamental principle regarding obedience to the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if we do not understand their wisdom. The same thing, the one thing which is very important, we submit fully to the lawgiver, and that is to Allah ta'ala. That we try and do it fully, perfectly. And as far as especially Tawheed is concerned, nothing like must come in its way. Nothing can that resembles also like idol worship, nothing like that must be permitted. As Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if I had to give anyone the command to make sajda to somebody, I should have given it to the wife to make sajda to the husband. So this shows how much she must be obedient to her husband. But on the other hand, it looks like idol worship, though it should not have been. It should just have been in obedience. Then that also is not permitted. Just like the farishtas were permitted and commanded to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. But in our Sharia, any type of sajda, of respect, of greeting, of any type is not permitted at all, because it looks like and it could lead to idol worship. But on the other hand, again, to accept what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, that also wholeheartedly we accept. Ulama of hadith have mentioned that as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu clarified his action of kissing the black stone, the Hajar-e-Aswad, in order to dispel the notion that istilam is a form of veneration, like a form of worship. He wanted to dispel that completely. That's why he made that announcement. It should be remembered that the Arabs had very recently abandoned idol worship. Hence, actions of this matter could very easily have been misinterpreted by them. It was still, idol worship was still fresh in their lives, and something like this could be again just trigger it, and they could think of going back to idol worship again. Muslim leaders and imams should explain and clarify any of the actions that have the potential of being misunderstood by the congregation. Whoever is in a leadership position and his certain actions are something that appears to be not according to Sharia, but he's doing it for a particular reason, he should clarify it. On one occasion, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night was walking with one of his wives, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Two sahaba passed them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, "This is my wife Safiya." They said, "Subhanallah, Allah's Nabi, can we ever doubt you of anything that you may be walking with some other woman?" He said, "But shaitan flows in the body, how blood flows in the body. Shaitan can put a doubt in you, even of his Nabi. Shaitan is who, he can work such a way that he can put that doubt." So to remove that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it, clarified it. Therefore, especially people in leadership position should always explain the actions which don't appear to be according to Sharia. Like for example, a person who becomes old and he can't make his sunnah namaz according to sunnah. He sits on a chair, for example. Then he should make it known that I've got back pain or whatever, that's why I can't stand and make namaz. Or that when he gets up from sajda, he takes support on the ground, which is not sunnah. But because his health conditions are such, so he should make it known. So that somebody mustn't think that this is a pious person and he's making namaz like this, so this is the correct way of making namaz. It should be clarified. Any such action should be clarified. It is not permissible to kiss any stone besides the Hajar-e-Aswad. A person must not think that that person kisses the Hajar-e-Aswad, so now you can kiss any other stone. No stone is permitted at all. It is only the Hajar-e-Aswad, and that was done by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So according to that, we will follow that. But no other stone is permitted to be kissed. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand our deen, to understand sunnahs and the great importance of sunnah, and bring it into our lives, in our dressing, etc. Not only on Ijumah we dress like Muslims, and other days, weekends, then we dress like the kuffar. Or when we come to namaz, then we dress like Muslims, and when we go to work or anywhere else, then we dress like the kuffar. All our matters, we should try and see how the sahaba was so particular about sunnah, and we should also try and adopt that in our lives. And there's absolutely no doubt, whoever will do that, he will see the barakat of it for himself. In his life, he will see the great barakat and goodness of it. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.